Today's daf is Shabbos daf Chaf. In Shabbos daf Chaf, the Gemara is discussing the issue of Shehiya. So, what's the issue of Shehiya? What's the issue of Shehiya? Right, what can't you do? Are you so? What's the prohibition of Shehiya? Someone, unmute. Yeah. What's the prohibition of Shehiya on Shabbos? So you can't. You can't leave, you can't place food, let's say raw food, or not food that's uncooked, on the fire before Shabbos. Again, you're putting on before Shabbos if there's a concern that you may change the temperature on Shabbos, right? So what is there a concern? So the Gemara said, V'kama, Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rav, Kedei sheyitzolu mibod yom, kemachol ben drusai. So the Gemara says that in the case of Shabbos, so that if the food is roasted, the amount of the amount that Ben Drusai would eat, he was a robber, he was a thief, and he would eat on the go. He would eat food that was maybe only a third cook. If the food is a third cooked, so then we're not concerned that you're going to change the temperature. So that's a Shabbos halacha. And then the Gemara says something which is a little strange. The Gemara then says, because that's a Shabbos halacha, the Gemara is basically saying, if food is cooked, one third or one half cooked, then the food is good enough and you're not going to forget on Shabbos, oh my gosh, I need to change the temperature to make it better cooked. If, let's say, come Shabbos, the food is cooked very little, then what are we afraid? You're sitting down to your table Friday night. You're like, oh my gosh, I want to have my chicken. I want to have my meat. And we're afraid you're going to change the temperature. Once it can already be eaten, one third or one half cooked, then we're not concerned. So I've had this in practice. People would come to me. They'd tell me, I just got home. Can I put my chicken in the oven? So my answer would be, how long does it take to cook your chicken? They would say, it takes 2 hours. And I would say, okay, it's good. It's 40 minutes to Shkia. So it's fine because basically, right, you put your food in, 40 minutes, there'll be a third cook, you're good to go. But now here's where it gets complicated. The Gemara said, Itmar Nami, Mar of Asi, Mar of Yochanan, Kol Shehu Kamacho Ben Drusai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nachri. If the food is Kamacho Ben Drusai, there's no prohibition of Bishulakum. So can someone explain to you what that means? What does that mean? What does that mean? Why is there no prohibition of Bishulakum? Yeah? Someone? Why is there no prohibition of Bishulakum if it's Kamacho Ben Drusai? What's the issue? Why is there a prohibition of Bishulakum to begin with?
But Ben Drusai ate food raw, so if he ate it raw, I guess there's no opinion of Bishulakum because it's not cooked.
Wait, but no, we're saying like this. We're saying that once the food is at least... Once the food is at least one third cooked, so then if a non-Jew cooks it, then there's no prohibition of bishulakum. Why is that? Why should that be? Why should that halakha be?
It's cooked enough.
It's cooked enough. In other words, what's the basis of the prohibition of bishulakum? What's the basis of the prohibition of bishulakum?
It's going to not make you the meal.
Right. In other words, the concern is that if the non-Jew cooks food for you, so you're gonna develop intimate feelings with the non-Jew, and it could lead to intermarriage, and of course, intermarriage could lead to mixed dancing, right? So the concern is right. The concern is that the non-Jew is gonna do something that's really good for you. He's gonna transform your food to make it from sort of inedible to edible. So once the food is one third cooked, so then we're saying it's edible enough that the non-Jew making it fully cooked is not a sufficient benefit, is not a sufficient enough benefit for you to violate bishulakum. And it hasn't done such a benefit for you. That's the same reason, by the way. Let's say a non-Jew, I don't know, bakes an apple for you. So did you violate bishulakum for that? What would you say? If a non-Jew cooks an apple for you, what would you say? Do you violate bishulakum for that? Thoughts?
No, because you're not changing the item itself.
That's the way.
Right. You're not, because
you can eat it raw.
Right, exactly. Because you can eat it raw. It's nechal kamoshu chai, because you can eat it raw. So it's what you're saying also, Ben. It's because you eat it raw because, but it's the same theory behind that. In other words, because you can eat it raw, the non-Jew is not doing a significant enough change to the food that would, you know, develop those kind of warm feelings. And I think it's a similar reason why if it's already cooked, we say en bishel acher bishel. We say that once it's cooked already, so then when the non-Jew cooks it again, it's not doing a significant enough change for it that would warrant these feelings that we make this gzeira. What's interesting is we're saying even if it's kamachal ben drusai, then we say ein bishul achar bishul. Now there's an interesting question, which is the following. The question is, what about the flip side? What about if the non-Jew cooks it kamachal ben drusai, and then you, the Jew, finish the cooking? What would you say about that? Let's say the non-Jew cooked it kamachal ben drusai, so he cooked the chicken one third, and then you finished the cooking. What would you say about that? What would you say about that? Based on what we're learning, based on what we just said.
You can't.
What?
You can't.
You can't. Why? Because he fully cooked it, right? In other words,
It's
bishul acher. Right, it's bishul. You would argue that what? So you know that, you know, sometimes the halacha when it comes to bishul is even if the goy cooks it, but you, at least according to Ashkenazim, if you help the cooking process, like you throw one stick in the fire, you know, you do a little thing to help the fire, you know, in some of these restaurants where they just turn on a pilot light. Even if you do the Ashkenazim are very lenient about this. Even if you do something very small to help the cooking process, then you don't violate bishul acher. But here, as Cal's saying, it's a little bit worse, right? Because here we're saying, what? He did the full cooking. He cooked kamachal ben drusai. So he already did the whole bishul, and therefore it would seem to violate bishul acher. The truth is, it's not so simple. It's actually not so simple. It's actually a machlokes. It's a debate between the Rashba and the Rosh. So Cal Paskins like the Rashba. The Rashba writes, and this is in Torah Sakodesh, he writes that Dehu Adin Nami in Bishlo Goy Kamachal Ben Drusai, that the same halacha would apply if the non-Jew cooks it Kamachal Ben Drusai. In other words, what are we saying here? We're saying that Machal Ben Drusai is considered like it's quote-unquote cooked enough. So if the non-Jew cooks it Kamachal Ben Drusai, ain't lo heter achakach. In other words, there's no heter. Even if the Jew then finishes the cooking, it doesn't make a difference because it's considered like a significant, he significantly changed it, yeah? So that's what the Rashba says. However, the Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says, no. This halacha of kamachal ben drusai is a leniency. This is a kula to leniency. See, in reality, the Rosh says the following. He says, Reisi Misha Asar Tavshil Shabishlo Goy Kamachal Ben Drusai Vegomer Yisrael. I saw someone who prohibited a cooked food that a non-Jew cooked Kamachal Ben Drusai, and he wants to bring the proof from the Gemara that we learned today in the Daf. And he says, Velinira Dila Hokil Asauhu Kimavushal Velola Hachmer. He said, no. That they were only being lenient. In other words, the real halacha is the following. Bishul Akum is cooking it fully. So if between the time when it's raw and it's fully cooked, the Jew is involved in the cooking at all, even if he starts after Kamachal Ben Drusai, so they consider the Jew's involved in the process. Whoa. I don't know what that is. Okay. In that case, Bishul Akum doesn't apply. However, what our Gemara is saying, there's an additional kula. The additional leniency is that... So the additional leniency... Sorry, hold on a second. I don't know why it's doing that. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, good. The additional leniency is that... If the food reached Kamachal Ben Drusai when the Jew finished, if the Jew cooks the Kamachal Ben Drusai, that's only a leniency. So in other words, to begin with, Bishalakum is a Gzeira Drabanan. So we're lenient on both ends. That for a Jew to basically, as long as a Jew plays with the fire from beginning to end, so then it's then there's no Bishalakum. And regarding the Goy, if the Jew already cooks a Kamachal Ben Drusai, then there's no Bishalakum afterwards. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paschal. The Shulchan Aruch brings on both the Rosh and the Rashba. And the Ramah writes the Yesh Matirim. He says, this is in Yoredea Simon Kuf Yigimel Sif Tes, in Bishlo Ovi Kachamim Kamachal Ben Drusai, if the non-Jew cooks a Kamachal Ben Drusai, the Gomer Yisrael and the Jew finished it, Yesh Lesor, the Shulchan Aruch first cites the Rashba, who says it's forbidden, unless there's a Hefsid Meruva, major financial loss, but he says the Rosh Yesh Matirin, that those who are lenient, and that's how the Ramah Paskins. So Lamaisa, whenever the Jew plays with the fire, even if the non-Jew cooked it until Kamachal Ben Drusai, as long as before it's fully cooked, the Jew plays with the fire, we Paskin, like the Rosh, the Ramah Paskin Rosh, and we can be lenient. Okay.